Father, we desperately need you to speak to us today. We all need a word from you. We need your Holy Spirit to help us understand your word, to receive your word, and to live out your word. I pray that somehow, Father, today, upon hearing your word, we will be changed. Our attitude will be changed. Our way of life will be changed. Father, if anything good happens here in this place today, as a result of the preaching of your word, it will be because of you. And I want to thank you today for the privilege of standing one more time. I pray that you will use me now as your instrument, your mouthpiece, to speak your truth to your people. And if there's anyone here today or anyone watching via live stream, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will hear the gospel and be saved today if they're lost without Christ. So Lord, bless us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the series, I Love My Church, we established from Scripture that God's people are meant to be different. We're to be different from the people of the world. And one of the characteristics that sets them apart and helps them stand out in the world is love. L-O-V-E. Jesus stated in John 13, in verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give unto you." And by the way, he was speaking to his disciples. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, according to what we just read and what Jesus is saying in that verse is that loving others is a sign to the world that we are Christ followers. And our love should not be limited to church family, but be extended to everyone. You say, why is that? Well, because God tells us that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Jesus stated in Mark chapter 12 that the two greatest commandments is, number one, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength." And the second greatest commandment is, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if we are loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, then we should be willing, because we are able, but we should be willing to share Jesus Christ with them. And that is so critical. It is so critical because no one will be saved apart from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and to hear about Christ. Paul makes this clear in our text for today, which is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. So I hope you have your Bibles already opened there. But if you don't, I'll give you just a moment to turn there. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. And I want to read this very familiar passage of Scripture. And I hope you will listen to the reading of God's Word and listen to God's message this morning. Beginning in verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, what I want to do with this text today, I want to point out two things from this passage. First of all, we're going to look at the process that God has established through which one is saved and born again. And what I want to do, I want us to look at this process, if you would please, in reverse order. Paul begins in verse 13 by saying, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he says, "How then shall he call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Let's look at this in reverse order. The very first thing that God must do, and by the way, I've said this numerous times and you'll hear me keep saying this, and that is that God always initiates the process of bringing a person to salvation, always. And so in that process, he begins, number one, by sending people. Look at what he says down in verse 15. He says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." And so first of all, God sends people out into the world to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God has commanded every single believer in Christ in every generation to be witnesses for Him. You say, where is that at in the Bible? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And I want you to notice something here. This word sent, it simply means to order one to go. To order one to go. To send out. To order one to go. Where do we have our going order? It is found in Matthew chapter 28. And let's look there for just a moment. These are the words of Jesus. This happened immediately after His crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And Jesus appears to His disciples and He gives them this word. This is what we commonly refer to as the Great Commission. And again, this was given to His disciples then. It is relevant for every disciple of Christ in every generation. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this word is for you. So I'm speaking to every individual that's here that names the name of Jesus. This commandment that we're about to read from Christ is given to every single one of us. It's not optional. We either do it or we disobey God. Listen to what He says. Let's go back to verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This Great Commission is given to every single one of us. And what does He say? The very first thing He says is go. That is the commandment Jesus Christ gives us, to go. Every believer is sent and every believer is to go through life each day looking for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There shouldn't be a morning that we get up that we don't pray and ask God to open up a door of opportunity for us to share Jesus with someone. We can do that in the workplace. We can do that at Walmart, wherever we are. With whomever we come in contact with, we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, if you have a voice box and a tongue, you can share Jesus Christ. If you don't share Him, then you are disobeying the commandment that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, gave you. You're just willfully disobeying the Word of God for your life. And God cannot bless disobedience. He will not bless disobedience. And so we're to be going. And so first of all, God sends a saved person out. They go. And then He says, secondly, people who are sent go, and what do? They preach. In other words, as we go in life every day, we preach. You say, ha ha, I got you there, preacher. I'm not a preacher. God did not call me to preach. Oh, yes, He did. Oh, yes, He did. He called every single one of us to preach. That word preacher there means, listen to this, a herald. A herald, someone to publish, someone to proclaim openly the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be called to be a pastor like I am. God called me to be a pastor and a preacher of the gospel. But I would be a preacher if I were not a pastor. Do you hear me? I would be a preacher of the gospel without being a pastor. Because these are my marching orders. That's what He's commanded me to do. And so we're to go out and we're to publish the gospel. You say, well, I just can't speak face to face with others. Well, think about this. Think about the social media platforms that we have today that we can reach the world literally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can reach millions of people with the gospel without ever meeting them face to face by what you post on social media. Rather spending so much time posting negative things on social media, why don't we all try to post positive things on social media and preach the gospel when we do it? That's what we ought to be doing instead of complaining about this or complaining about that and wondering about all this. Stop all of that. Let's just get down to business and do what God has called us to do while we can do it, because there's coming a day when no man can work and no man will share the gospel. So we need to be busy doing what God has called us to do. I don't have it. I laid it down here on the table. I have been harping on this for months. Here's one way, simple way that you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that for Trunk or Treat, and I know there's some misunderstanding or has been some misunderstanding in this body about what we do at Trunk or Treat. We don't celebrate Halloween, okay? It is an opportunity for the world to come to us and for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We handed out packets with this in it, which is a gospel presentation and information about our church to 170 families. This is not including our own church, folks. This is including 170 families this past Friday night. They were able to get the gospel message. Some of you have probably not even looked at this. And it's not anything really that significant. No, it's not anything that you or I haven't seen or heard before. But on the back of this, I've placed a little simple plan of salvation. There are two points on the back of this card. One is what one needs to know. What one needs to know. Number one, every person is a sinner. I gave the scripture for that. Sin separates a person from God. I gave the scripture for that. Isaiah, and I can't read that. I'm nearly blind. All sinners are under the sentence of eternal death. And God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in your place and pay your sin debt. And scripture for that, John 3:16. And then what one needs to do, that is repent, Luke 13:3, turn from your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, and believe and accept God's promise, Romans 10:9-10. Call on Jesus now before it is eternally too late. That is enough right there that if the Holy Spirit deals with someone, they can get saved. And there's not a person in this building this morning, not a one. No one here can give God an excuse. No one here can give me an excuse as to why you can't hand these cards out. All I've asked you to do is one per week. One card per week. If 100 people in this congregation, there's probably 275 to 320 here this morning, I would imagine. If 100 people would pick up one card per week, take one and give one, can you imagine how many people we will witness to in 1 week? 1 week. And everyone here can do it from the youngest to the oldest. We can do that. The second thing, or third thing I want you to notice in this process is the lost hear the preaching of the gospel. Once one goes out and is sent, they're sent for a purpose to preach. And then those out there who listen to the preaching, the lost hear the preaching of the gospel. Now, no one can hear unless the gospel is communicated openly and orally. And when one hears the gospel, guess what happens? Faith comes. Look at what he says in verse 17. We didn't read that verse, but right below verse 15, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we're sent for a purpose. We go out and we preach, we proclaim, we herald the message of Jesus Christ, and the lost hear the preaching. And then if God gives them the faith and and courage to believe, they believe the preaching of the gospel. And then what will they do? Out of a natural habit, I believe if they truly believe the gospel and realize they're lost and undone before a holy God and destined for an eternal separation from Him, they will call on the name of the Lord. And then the Lord saves those who call upon Him. So that's the process. It's a very simple process, but it's right there in the Scripture. And that is how God uses it over and over and over and over again. He's not changed anything in the process, and He never will until Jesus comes. It will always be the same process. People are sent out. They go and they preach. The lost hear. The lost believe. Those who will believe. And they call on the name of the Lord, and they're gloriously saved and born again. It's just that simple. It's all right there in the Scripture. And that's how God intends for it to happen. And He intends to use people like you and me to go out and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now, not only have we seen the process, secondly, I want you to notice the promise. The promise. Look at what He says in verse 10. We're going to break this, on verse 13, we're going to break this verse down. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let's break this verse down. Look at this. The promise is to whosoever. This promise is given to whosoever, and whosoever means anyone and everyone. No one is excluded. Do you see that? He says whosoever. That means no one is excluded. No matter who they are, they are not excluded from being able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved if they come to Christ with the right attitude and spirit, and they believe the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ. So the promise is to whosoever. Secondly, the promise is to whosoever, watch this, shall call. To whosoever, whomsoever shall call. That means to make an appeal. Now, when one hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, as I mentioned a moment ago, one truly hears the gospel and understands the gospel and understands that they're lost and destined for hell, then it should be a natural response for them to make an appeal to Holy God and cry out to Him, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, or something to that effect. Lord, save me. If you were drowning in a lake somewhere and you saw someone coming along and you were splashing in the water and trying to keep yourself above, wouldn't you holler out and say, help, help, save me? It's a natural response when people realize they're truly in danger. And the soul that is without Jesus Christ this morning is in one of the most critical conditions they could ever be in. Jesus said that a soul that is without Christ is already living under the umbrella of God's condemnation. They're already condemned. Already condemned. And the only thing that stands between them and hell is a heartbeat. But praise be unto God, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented and that person who is living, walking, living daily under the umbrella of God's condemnation because of their sin, when they go to Jesus Christ, guess what happens? God brings them out from under that umbrella of condemnation and puts them in a relationship with Himself. They come to know Christ and a change takes place in their life. But the promise is to whosoever shall call. Make an appeal. Thirdly, notice the promise is to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That is significant. Call on the name of the Lord. Now, to call on the name of the Lord means to pray to the Lord Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author of our salvation. Calling on the name of the Lord is very significant. You say, why is that? Simply because we call upon the name of the Lord. He is our only Savior. He is mankind's only Savior. Do you see Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. That's why we call on the name of Jesus, because he's the only way of eternal life. And so we have to call on His name. And then the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you see that? Shall be saved. When someone calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with a repentant and sincere heart of faith, they will be saved. Notice the word shall here. It indicates an inevitable outcome. You shall be saved. That is an inevitable outcome for everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord in repentance and faith. They shall be saved. And the word saved means safe, safe from perishing. They're protected, they're preserved, they're rescued from danger. In conclusion, I want to say that God does not take pleasure in seeing people die in sin. Did you know that? God does not take pleasure in seeing anyone die in sin. I want to prove it to you from Scripture. Listen to these verses. Ezekiel 18:23 says, God is speaking, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return or turn from his ways and live? Again, that's Ezekiel 18:23. And then verse 32, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 33:11, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? In other words, there's no excuse. Why will you die in your sins if you can turn and be saved? Yet we know many people will never turn. And then finally, 2 Peter 3:9, the word says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to repentance. Now, not only does God not take pleasure in seeing people die in sin, but believers should not take pleasure in seeing people die in their sins. Folks, if we don't have a concern for lost people, there is something wrong with us. Let me repeat that. If we do not have a concern for the souls of lost people, there is something wrong with our spiritual lives. Because we possess the very nature of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And if God is living on the inside of us and He's concerned about the lost, then certainly we should be concerned about lost people. It makes us wonder whether or not we even possess the Spirit of God. If we're not concerned about lost people the way God is and His nature is living on the very inside of us, it makes us wonder, well, do I really know the Lord? We have a command to go and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the means to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I say to you this morning, let us go and proclaim the gospel. We will see the kingdom of heaven grow, and we will see our church grow. I would hope and pray that every single one of us would leave here this morning with the same desire and attitude that Isaiah had. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, listen at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. One of the greatest blessings that I have received in my life was when I realized that God said, Go. And strictly because of God's grace and His mercy on my life, I was willing to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me in whatever way you can. I'll go. I'll go wherever you say go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. You just show me what to do. And I never dreamed when I prayed that prayer to God that He would have ever called me to be a pastor. Never. So when you surrender fully to God, are you listening? When you fully surrender to the Lord, don't be surprised how God will use you. You may be here this morning, and you may be a believer in Jesus Christ, and you may have been at one time fully surrendered to God, but this morning you know as well as God knows that there are some reservations in your heart. You have some things in your life that you don't want to turn loose of. And you've got a grip on them. And God has been dealing with you for some time to let go and let Him be God in your life. I want to tell you something, folks. You will never be happy. You will never have complete peace in your life. You will never enjoy your relationship with Christ until you fully surrender to Him and let Him have it all. And say, Lord, whatever you want for my life, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to do. Just show me. We will leave here today. If Jesus tarries, we'll all leave here this morning. And we'll all go to work tomorrow morning if the Lord is willing and Jesus tarries. And God is going to put a lot of people in our path this next week. I would hope and pray that every single one of us, including this preacher, would be willing to take the time to share a word about Jesus. If a 105-year-old lady, precious sister in Christ, can stand before this congregation in the host of heaven this morning and give a testimony about how if you're not saved, you need God in your life. If she can do it, we can do it. And there is absolutely no excuse. None. None. And just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting where you are, when this life is over and we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be held accountable for what we've done in these bodies, whether it be good or bad, every single one of us will be held accountable for the opportunities that God gave us to witness, and we refuse to do it. I'm just warning you. I'm telling you the truth. And I do it out of love, because I love every single one of you, but more than you'll ever know. And I tell you the truth from God's Word. It's up to you whether or not, it's up to me whether or not we receive it and we follow it. We obey it. So all of us will make a decision here this morning. If you're here today and you're lost without Jesus, you need to make a decision to be saved today. If the Holy Spirit's drawing you and calling you, today's the day of salvation for you. You need to come and repent of your sin and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Commit yourself over to Him and stop living for self and start living for Jesus. And if you're a believer here today and you're not fully surrendered, I don't know of a better time than right now and a better place than right here for you to make that all-important decision in your life and turn loose of whatever it is in your life that you're holding on to that God wants you to get rid of and follow Jesus. Follow Him. There is no other way.